As I get started this morning, I'd like to point out that my parents are joining us today in worship. So, Mom and Dad, if you'll give a wave. Their names are Aaron and Krista. They drove all the way from Springfield, Ohio to be here. So I guess this... Woo! You win. I mean, you drove the longest to be here, you win. All right, so we are in the middle of our Joseph series. So we've had chosen, abandoned, and today tested. So a little review. Joseph was the chosen son, chosen by God to receive visions, and chosen by his father as the favorite. I'm sure absolutely no parents in here have any favorites, right? Mom and Dad? No, it's me, right? Okay. Then he was abandoned by his brothers in a well and sold into slavery in Egypt. And today, we're going to talk about Joseph being a slave in Egypt in the house of Potiphar, and he is about to be tested. We all know where Joseph's story ends. Spoiler alert. God brings him into favor with the Egyptian king, and Joseph helps him save the entire land from a famine. Joseph has to get from slave to advisor to the king. So what should happen in between that? Where do we think the story should go? Joseph gains favor with his master Potiphar and is promoted to manager of the household. Okay, see where this is going? This seems to be in line with where we're trying to get. But then Joseph is tested. Potiphar's wife propositions him day after day after day. He repeatedly turns her down and starts altogether avoiding her and the tempting situation. She even grabs his cloak to stop him from leaving her, and he leaves the cloak there rather than stay there another second. Even when no one is watching, Joseph does the right thing. So God's going to reward him, right? Because he did the right thing, God's going to reward him. Instead, Joseph gets thrown in jail because he did the right thing. Potiphar's wife frames Joseph, Potiphar believes his wife, and throws Joseph in jail. As we listen to this Bible story, we may be thinking, yeah, but it's going to be okay. God has a plan. It's going to be all right. But if this were to happen to us in our real life, where would that take us mentally? Would we be so calm from a prison cell? Or when we get in tough situations, do we respond by saying, why, God? I can't handle this right now. Or do we say, I did the right thing, but things still went wrong, God? Like, what more do you want from me? Are you going to hold up your end of the bargain or what? We become angry, confused, scrambling, hopeless. Potiphar's wife was the first test for Joseph. But the real test is his time in prison. My brother and sister have never thrown me down a well or sold me into slavery, but part of Joseph's story really resonates with my story. I was called to ministry at a young age, and so I went to Malone University and got my bachelor's in Bible and theology. My plan was to graduate, start immediately using my degree by working in ministry, maybe as an associate pastor or a women's pastor. But then the spring of my senior year of college came, and I did not have a job lined up. And then graduation came, and I still had not secured a job. Then I graduated, and I had to move back in with my parents, lovingly, graciously let me move back in. Thanks again, Mom and Dad. I spent that whole summer trying to find a job that used the degree I had just spent 4 years attaining. I wasn't in jail, but I was trapped in depression and hopelessness and confusion. I felt like God had forgotten me. I felt like he had abandoned me. I felt like somehow I had slipped through the cracks. I felt like maybe I was being punished for something, even though I wasn't sure what that was. By August of that year, I was working part-time in clothing retail, which I did not want to do. And I also worked part-time in a youth pastor position that turned out to be a very bad fit for me. I was also commuting half an hour south to the clothing retail job and 45 minutes north to the part-time youth pastor job. So I loved that. And all I could think was, God, like, what did I do wrong? This wasn't the plan. And God was saying back to me, do you trust me? I was being tested. Some of you might remember the movie Aladdin, which, you know, not a perfect movie, has some questionable morals, but there is this really good moment where Aladdin is on the magic carpet, and he asks Jasmine, you know, to come ride on the magic carpet, and he holds out his hand, and he says, do you trust me? And I love that moment. It's so much fun. But sometimes God reaches out his hand and asks us to trust him when it's not a magic carpet ride he has in store. For Joseph, God was leading him to a prison cell saying, do you trust me? For me, God was standing in front of two jobs that were not my plan and saying, do you trust me? Do you still have faith in me? Do you still love me? And the truth was, I didn't. I did not trust God. I leaned on my own understanding, and I couldn't see any good coming from it. I could not imagine a single good thing coming from either of these jobs. It made no sense to me. And I had never been so aware of how weak and doubting my faith was. The truth about testing is that God does not test us so that he can see our faith. And how do I know this? Because God knows everything. He already knows. He knows everything that has happened, anything that would happen or ever could happen. God knows your heart. God knows the strength of your faith. So why does he still test us? We are tested so that we can see the strength of our faith. When things are good, it's easy to have faith and feel faithful. It's easy to trust God when everything's going our way. But if we stay comfortable for too long, our faith might weaken, unused, like a muscle. Suddenly, our faith slides from dependence on God to dependence on comfort, or dependence on everything staying the same, or dependence on predictability, dependence on ourselves. But when things get hard, all of that goes away. Comfort stripped away. Predictability out the window, independence, poof. Only our faith is left. We are forced to look our faith in the face. We are forced to find out just how much we trust God. We are forced to see for ourselves how strong our faith is. God is a God of truth, and through hardship, he reveals the truth of ourselves to ourselves. But that is the only way that we can grow. You can't work on your faith if you don't know that you need to work on your faith. We need to see our faith to know that it needs to be stronger. Because you can't move forward if you're in denial about where you are now. So, do you trust him? So how do we move forward? We're in our prison cell. We know our faith is weak. So how do we grow in our faith? How? First, rest easy, because testing is the best way to grow your faith. God has already put you in the place you need to be to grow your faith. Like a muscle, hardship forces us to use our faith repeatedly. Faith is the practice of taking your eyes off earthly things and putting them on God and who he is. So when you feel fear, instead say, I'll trust you. When you feel overwhelmed, say, God, I know you're bigger. When things get hard, instead of asking God, why is this happening? Instead ask him, how can I grow from this? What are you teaching me? Help me to trust you more. Faith is a practice of taking your eyes off earthly things and putting your eyes on God. So practice. How can we have faith when things are hard? Focus on the faithfulness of God. God was faithful to Joseph and used his imprisonment to get him into the king's household. He didn't get him through it. He actually used the imprisonment to get him into the household because he became friends with some of the king's workers who were in there. God was faithful to Joseph, so Joseph could have faith in God. God used my time at those two unwanted jobs to give me invaluable skills and lessons that, frankly, I use every day. I didn't even know I needed them, but God used them anyway. So I could have faith because God was faithful to me. God is always faithful, and that is what can strengthen our faith. The greater appreciation you have for the faithfulness of God, the stronger your faith is. The longer you look at the faithfulness of God, the more the faith just wells up inside of you. It's a proportional relationship. We can have great faith because God is greatly faithful. He is perfectly faithful. And in fact, even when my faith was weak, God was faithful. That's how faithful he is. Even when your faith is weak. Even when our faith is weak, God is faithful to us. And frankly, God's faithfulness matters a lot more than our faith. I mean, he's God. It's just, that's how that works. His faithfulness is so much greater than our faith could ever be. There's no roof. There's no ceiling to our faith because of God's perfect, infinite faithfulness. So, do you trust him? I pray that the next time that trial and hardship comes to you, the answer is yes. I trust you, God, even from a prison cell. Let's sing our closing song.